Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you know, the portal, which was offering live stream pictures between New York and Dublin, has been temporarily closed due to inappropriate behaviour. And while the media here is reporting the bad behaviour on the Dublin end, the American press apparently is reporting that New Yorkers haven't been entirely polite either. But this has been just one in a series of attempts to introduce attractions to the Dublin One area that haven't gone that well. Fionnán Sheehan has been writing about this in today's Independent. Afternoon, Fionnán.
Afternoon, Sean.
Do you think that the portal will come back?
The portaloo? Yeah. Don't know. I mean, it's a difficulty. Unless you're going to put 24-hour security on it to stop people misbehaving, then that's a difficulty. And giving our current policing woes around the city centre, it's hardly a priority to have someone parked there all the time, really, is it?
Yeah. But they say there'll be some sort of technical fix. I don't know. They'll introduce a boob detector or something that'll, you know, blank that out. I don't really know how that's going to work. But why is it that things that they put in the Dublin One area just don't seem at least ill thought out or don't work for some reason, do you think?
Yeah, it seems there's an O'Connell Street curse, basically, where problems have emerged over the years with monuments being put in place to offer as kind of an attraction to lift the area. We can go back to 88, which was the year of the millennium for Dublin. Dublin was 1,000 years old. There was a number of events that year to commemorate that significant landmark of the Vikings coming to Dublin and founding the city along the banks, bridging down by Wood Quay. And, you know, you had a 50p coin, you had milk bottles. You'll still see lampposts around the city, which are kind of look antique. But if you look at the crest underneath it, it says Dublin Millennium 88 on them. And the big project was the Anna Livia statue, which was placed on O'Connell Street. And this was a representation of Anna Livia Plurabel, who was, an embodiment of the River Liffey, basically. There was a character that James Joyce had in Finnegan's Wake, and it was based on all of these concepts of Dublin. Placed in the middle of O'Connell Street, it was a waterfall, kind of fountain effect attached to it, and it immediately hit difficulties with the nicknames being attached to it of the floozy and the jacuzzi, because this was a portrayal of a woman who had water flowing down across her. People were pouring washing up liquid into it, so it was bubbling up with bubbles. And then ultimately, it stayed there for around about a decade. And when O'Connell Street was being regenerated at the turn of the millennium, it was basically taken away. It was put in a box for a while, and ultimately is now down in the park near Houston Station by the Croppie Acre. You can see it there when you're coming in on the Lewis. It's there. It's probably a more appropriate setting because it's in a park, surrounded by grass. It's right beside the River Liffey, so it makes that bit more sense.
Yeah, it was an ugly feckin' thing anyway. And I mean, apart from the water, people used it as a bin. It was a woman with her head sticking out of a mound of rubbish a lot of the time.
Yeah, you ended up, it was kind of near there was, you could kind of sit around it. And because it was near the fast food joints there on the strip on O'Connell Street, you did end up with people coming out, just sitting there and then dumping their leftover chips into it. So it was often quite dirty. The washing up liquid was a regular prank of people pouring the washing up liquid into it, because it did have that cascading water effect. It would bubble up. So it was blighted by those problems. And again, partially to do with the location, partially just with people misbehaving.
Yeah. Now, the chime in the slime. Why? And the odd thing is, the floozy and the jacuzzi, I couldn't remember what its actual name was. The chime in the slime, I don't remember what its actual name was. But this was supposedly counting down to the start of the millennium.
Yeah, so late 90s, country was, you know, starting to become awash with money. And coming towards the millennium, government and other bodies were looking at ways to commemorate this great occasion of the year 2000. So the National Lottery and Dublin City Council came up with this idea of putting a countdown clock in the Liffey at O'Connell Bridge. And it would basically be a digital numeral countdown of seconds towards the millennium. You could get a postcard printed out then, which would tell you at the second it was printed out how many seconds were left until the millennium. It was didn't sit on the water. It was submerged in the water. And therein began the difficulties because of the silt, the mud, the algae, the tidal effect of the River Liffey, which people will be familiar with, where the tide comes in and out. It basically meant that this structure got muddied in effect. And after a while, you couldn't really see the clock. You couldn't see the numbers. There was a suggestion sometimes that the numbers were wrong. It got taken out for a couple of events. It was cleaned and repaired and put back in. And then basically end of December of 1996, after being launched with great aplomb and fireworks earlier on in the year, it got removed and was never seen again.
Yeah. How much money did they spend on that?
Yeah, the chime and the slime, I think it cost in the about a quarter of a million quid, and that's old money now, Sean. That's not your fancy new euros. That's good old punts. So it's a bit more. That would be about 320 grand thereabouts. And then there was another about 60 grand old money again for installation, repair, and eventually being removed. I think it was basically scrapped. So there is no more recollection of that idea. The millennium did obviously happen, and I suppose this was one of the first millennium glitches that happened on that occasion. We did commemorate the event. You remember every house in the country got a candle to burn on the night. Some people might still have those, maybe not. There was a tree planted in forests around the country for every family in the country, and they have all grown fully now into fully grown forests, and you were got a certificate that told you where your tree was, you can go looking for it and stuff like that. But there was this was supposed to be one of the big signature things that were attached to the changeover of the century and of the millennium, and it didn't quite work out. So that was the chime and the slime, as it's now remembered.
Yeah. But do tell us about the plaque, and is that plaque still there?
Yeah. I when last I heard it was still there, and I haven't looked recently. When you're going over O'Connell Bridge, the only way those fellas selling hats and scarves and stuff. If you look around the middle of the bridge when they're on that side, which is the Houston Station, Halfpenny Bridge side of the bridge, have a look out for a plaque there. So there was basically, when the millennium, countdown clock was put in the river, a plaque was put in place to say, this is the millennium countdown clock and it'll count down to the turn of the century, blah, blah, blah. When the clock got removed, the plaque got removed, but there was still an indent in the bridge, in the concrete on the bridge. So another plaque appeared, and it wasn't really noticed until 2 years later that this commemorated a Father Pat Noyes, who died in mysterious circumstances when his carriage plunged into the River Liffey on August 10th, 1919. The only problem was that never happened. There was no Father Pat Noyes. This was a prank. It was sitting there for about 2 years before anybody noticed. The council took it away. Then it appeared, another version of it appeared again. And then a couple of councillors said, just leave it alone. It's a tribute to Dublin wit. Yeah. It's a bit of a laugh. Leave it there and people can have a look at it and ponder about the existence of Father Pat Noyes. So it was, when last I checked, it was still there. But
indeed.
You wouldn't know. It's Dublin, and if things aren't nailed down, they tend to disappear.
Probably, yeah. It's on some student's bedroom as we speak. Fionnán Sheehan is Ireland editor of the Irish Independent. Fionnán, thanks a million. A lot of comments on this. The crackdown at the portal on Saturday was class. Music and all was playing. Philip, who's in Glasson, says, let's call a spade here. The portal didn't work there because it's simply in the wrong place. It should have been placed with Stephen's Green in the background. What were they thinking? Just putting just off O'Connell Street. Any Egypt would have told them what would happen. Greg says something similar. Does anyone think for one... Oh, no, he doesn't actually. Does anyone think for 1 minute that if they put the portal in the middle of Grafton Street, it would be any different? Well, obviously, Philip does. You come 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock with a drink flowing, you would have just as much bad behaviour as anywhere. This does not negate the fact either. O'Connell Street is a disgrace. Always has been. Horrible shops, cheap burger joints, etc., etc., says Greg. Well, obviously, that's... I suppose what's going to happen to O'Connell Street is an ongoing discussion. Though somebody else says, I work in Sports Direct beside the portal. It has been a brilliant buzz for the area. It's packed every day and the shop is always busy as a result. Someone else says, I hope it reopens. It is so good for Dublin to have a fun tourist attraction like this. Remember, it's only a 6 month trial. We want to make it a permanent feature. Well, you'd want to, but... it's not looking good at the moment. Someone else says, how did the organisers not see that this was going to happen with the portal? Anyone with a semblance of cop on could have predicted it. More public money wasted. The portal will fade into storage very quickly. Now, they could kind of just move it to some other place, which probably wouldn't look good for us, I would have thought. But, you know, you're right. There was bound to be a bit of, and not just from here, but from there as well. Someone else says the New York people are just as bad for mooning too. I was there on Sunday. I assume you mean at the Dublin portal. Loads of American bums on show. That sounds like the name of a stage show. They should have a portal between Dublin 1 and Japan. Then the girl from the horror movie The Ring can transport herself out of the portal to frighten everyone to death. That will sort out the messers. Terrible idea to put the portal in Dublin 1 because it's surrounded by troublemakers and drug addiction. Why didn't they put it on top of Grafton Street or something? Because, of course, middle-class people never do that sort of thing. Was that the portal yesterday at lunchtime and was a lovely atmosphere. No genitals on show. And someone else says, we're being way OTT over the portal. This stuff was always going to happen. By giving the boobs so much airtime, we're only emboldening people to do stupid stuff in front of the portal. Yes, you are listening to the Moncrief Show and News Talk. We're going to take a break. After that, we're going to be interviewing the boobs from the portal.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.